Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
99.9 KISW. The shenanigans continue. This is the Men's Room with Miles and Thrill.
What surprising thing did you find out about a coworker, a family member, or a friend? 206-803-ROCK.
A couple of quick texts here. I like this one. It says, we found out that my coworker was smoking crack in the bathroom. Apparently, she was doing it for months since we hired her. And then one day, she was walking and it fell out of her back pocket on her way back to the welding station. She immediately denied that it was hers, but she was escorted out of the building.
There's something about those little bags.
But then something. But the same thing happened to me at another one of my jobs, except it was my supervisor in the bathroom snorting coke. And no, it was not diet.
I never find like a big old bag of weed. It's always like on the sidewalk. You look down, there's that little tiny bag, and you look down and you go, ugh.
I remember years ago, we're in the other building, somebody found a little bag of cocaine in the bathroom, and they're like, I don't know whose this is. So I just claimed ownership. I was I couldn't find whose it was. It wasn't mine, but I'm like, oh, man, I must have dropped
it. Let me take that to test it out.
Well, I got a quick scolding. Like, hey, man, you got it. I'm like, yeah, yeah, my bad. It wasn't mine, but I'm like, if you basically are telling me you're giving out free coke, I'm taking it. Somebody here says the craziest thing I ever found out about a family member is that my dad's stepsister's husband is a descendant of Francis Scott Key, who wrote the lyrics to the Star Spangled Banner.
Oh, even more famous than that, in Frederick, Maryland, there is the Francis Scott Key Mall that has, you know, a bon ton, and it's a very nice mall. So, I
mean, have you read all the lyrics to the Star Spangled Banner?
It goes on more than you think.
There are a total of four verses. So we sing the first verse. That is what we know as the national anthem. I will not recite them all because I don't feel like wasting that much time, but like it kind of starts with this proud thing, you know, hey, man. Then you can tell, like, his mood changed a little bit as he's writing it because it starts taking on more of a tone of F the Brits. Then he's like, and if I find out that any slaves fought for the British, we're going to kill them. Then he kind of comes back to just kind of S on the Brits a little more, but it still does land, end with land of the free and the home of the brave.
And because he was basically a Baltimore native, he also talks crap on the Steelers.
Yes, he points that out.
What surprising thing did you find out about a coworker, a family member, or a friend? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Hank. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, bitch. Hola.
Hola.
I had a relative that when Charles Manson passed away, he had to go take custody of the body and guard it until the courts made a decision with it.
Why did he have to take custody of the body?
He worked in law enforcement. So when Charles Manson passed away, they didn't want to keep him there at the coroner's office for fear that their followers were going to try to take the body. So they took the body. The public didn't know. They took the body to a secluded place that used to be a jail. That jail still had a functioning freezer, and they put him in the freezer until they made a decision with the body.
All right, here's my question. Say the and obviously you don't want followers breaking in, but say they stole Charles Manson's body. Now what? I mean, like, you got a corpse that's going to rot. He's still dead. There's nothing you're going to do to bring him back. I mean, congratulations.
Oh, look. He's still,
I mean, I wish someone would break into my house and steal my trash. I'd be like, okay.
He's still alive, but they moved maybe a week or two ago. Gary Ridgway, from wherever he was, I'm not sure if he was in Walla Walla, Tri-Cities, Yak. I don't know where the hell they had him. Somewhere around the eastern part of the state. But they moved him downtown.
Yeah.
So they moved him basically across the street from us. Now, when I say to you that you've never seen a police car on the road in the last two or three years in Seattle, every single one of them were out front. I mean, you'd think that it was the Joker from Batman. I can't even think of the most evil villain
I would
that could possibly escape.
It was someone who's done something decent, like the leader of a nation, whether it be ours or visiting dignitary. And you go like, man, what is all this? And they go, oh, they're moving Gary Ridgway. I'm like, the man who killed multiple people. Yeah. And they go, yeah. I'm like, why?
What's the detail for? In other words, like, how old is he? In the 70s? So what is he going to do?
Because someone might kill him?
Get out and beat somebody with a cane? I mean, what the hell's that guy going to do? I mean, I know what he's done. I'm just saying.
I don't think they're worried about him. I think they're worried about someone doing something to him, which was my argument. Of,
that could be.
We're spending the money because this guy that killed multiple people and he gets this kind of police detail. Fellas, maybe it's just me. You commit that kind of crime. I don't give a rat's ass for like that dumbass I was out there earlier today with his amplifier microphone. Beats his ass to death with it. The man's a murderer.
Yes.
How did you get like a 15-car cop detail? And the thing you've done to quote-unquote earn
get that
is murder multiple people.
Like, what did the caravan look like on 90?
Jesus Christ.
Was it 50? Like, look, if I'm speeding, I'm going 75 miles an hour, and I see like 50 cop cars rolling up behind me, I'm like, oh, no.
But I think it's someone that matters, not someone that doesn't. This is the exact opposite for police detail. Like, look, man. I'll tell you what, you're going to ride on the back of a cop motorcycle, and if someone recognizes your ass and takes you out, that's on you, because one thing you do to avoid that, don't murder people.
What surprising thing did you find out about a coworker, a family member, or a friend? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Dave. Welcome to the men's room.
How are you?
Hola. Doing good, Dave. Thanks, man.
Well, I got kind of a same story about your granddad with the coconut.
Yeah.
My former boss that I worked with for 20 years was in the Navy, and he was at that same area when they blew that island up. So he was on a ship, and they had everybody come up on deck, and it was dark. I says, all right, put your eyes in the crook of your elbow, and that's about when they blew the island up. He says you could see the bones in his arm, and once you moved your arm away, it was daylight, and it never turned dark again.
Damn.
That's crazy. Yeah. Hopefully no one will ever have to see anything like that again.
I mean, did those guys have any idea for our age group, we know what it would entail because we've seen all the footage, we've heard about it, but, you know, we quote-unquote haven't tested this yet in front of someone. Did they have, not the scientists, but, I mean, any of the soldiers, any of the sailors, any of these guys, did they have any idea what they're going to see? Or did they just say, a big explosion?
Yeah, big bomb.
Big explosion, yeah. And he's up there in the 90s and still going great.
Okay.
All right, well, good. At least made it to his 90s, man. Yeah, when you look at the testing, and we've all seen the footage.
They have footage of it, yeah.
But what's different is, you know, one, I was not physically there. And two, you say, man, this is the first time that the non-confidential people actually saw what this thing can do. That just had to be. Because you've seen explosions, but nothing like that.
My buddy Chad, his dad was about the same age as my grandfather, just a few years younger than him.
All right.
So he had Chad when he was probably in his late to mid-50s, and he had his mom was much younger. Yeah, correct.
Surprise.
All the things. But he was on that ship that sank, and they had the shark situation. So he had
Indiana?
Indianapolis.
Indianapolis,
yes. He had that tattoo on his forearm that you could not read, because it was so green
and old and
just kind of blurred together, but he had it for his friends that he knew personally who had passed on that ship as well. But he did get picked up by another boat and made it, obviously.
Did you ever ask him?
No.
I mean, but just even his thoughts
Chad,
about like
Chad actually just jaws. Told me, like, he's like, man, this is the deal, but you can't. Sometimes my dad gets very quiet.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes he just sits there and, you know, he won't say much, but other times he's very vocal and jovial. Just, you know, understand this, but do not bring it up. So that
ended up being kind of the point of the entire movie of Jaws, right? So you watch the movie
Jaws.
Oh, you
mean based on the captain.
Right, and it's about a shark that's eating people, and you want to get rid of the shark. And then when they're kind of having, they get drunk, and they have their heart-to-heart about why this particular captain is so determined to get the shark. Mm-hmm. And he brings up the USS Indianapolis. And just the way the actor conveyed that story, I remember being a kid. I did not know it was a real story as a kid. I thought it was just for the movie. But even when he told it and I'm a child, I'm like, Jesus Christ, that's terrifying.
Yeah.
It's maybe 10 years later. My parents are like, oh, that was a real thing, man. I'm like, what?
Oh, yeah.
They're like, oh, yeah. I mean, to me, that's like the ultimate nightmare. I'm already not a fan of deep water, but then you say, well, not just that. but you kind of, you're floating around in your life jacket and your friends are getting picked off one by one, and there's a feeding frenzy under your feet.
Yeah.
I was like, that, in no way is that okay.
What surprising thing did you find out about a coworker, a family member, or a friend? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Matthew. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, bitches.
Hola.
So what surprised me at work is I worked with a guy for 6 months, and I was the only one on the crew that didn't know he only had one eye.
How did you not piece together that he had one eye? Did he always wear sunglasses or something?
No, I just... Yeah, no, I never really focused in on the one funny eye that didn't move and was a different color and a different shape and everything. And the work we do, too, is even more surprising because you kind of need depth perception for what we do.
What do you do?
We climb trees.
Okay. Was he your supervisor?
No. He was a junior climber.
Okay.
His.
All right. Well, he did keep an eye out for you, right?
Well, when he can. Okay. It depends on what side you're on.
Yeah. Did he ever say how he lost his eye?
One guy on the crew thinks he lost it with a BB gun when he was a kid.
All right. That makes sense.
It does. That, you know, proving the old adage that your mom always said, put someone's eye out. That's just not the story you want to tell.
No.
What surprising thing did you find out about a coworker, a family member, or a friend? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Maria. Welcome to the men's room.
Hi. How's it going?
Hola.
Good, Maria. Thank you.
So this one time when I was helping my friend clean out their house and donate stuff, they said there was a box in the back room and their bedroom. So after going into the back room and grabbing the first box, I went into their room and saw a huge white dildo bigger than my hand and forearm.
Wow.
And he's gay. So, you know, I guess it's a butt plug. But
well, I would assume.
I doubt it. If it's that big.
And I pretended I didn't go in there yet and found them in their living room with the first box in my hands. And then I asked them if they wanted to show me what I needed to get out of their room and just pretend I didn't see it. And as we were about to go in their room, they said, oh, hold on. And then threw a blanket over it before I entered. And to this day, I don't think they know that I saw it.
Do they listen to this show?
I'm not sure. They might know now.
You're going to find out.
I think so. A lot of good times, I'm sure.
I'm sure it did.
You know, what it could tell.
So,
were you that shocked by it?
Hello.
Oh.
Hello? Yeah.
I'm sorry. You broke up.
I'm saying, were you that shocked by it, or were you like, yeah, I figured?
Well, I was thinking that's bigger than anything I've ever put in my body, so good for him.
Yeah.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, little loose back there.
Jesus.
God, I remember the first time I saw one of those. I didn't know what it was, but my buddy, we were teenagers, and he was cat sitting for the lady that lived next to him. So anyway, I go in there one day. We're feeding the cats, no big deal. But he's like, hey, man, you got to see this. This dude, Kevin. And he opens the bottom drawer, and it was a massive double-sided dildo. Mm-hmm. I mean, this thing was, and we just sat there and stared at it, and it was crazy because the lady, you know, she gets back from vacation. I'd see her 3 days a week, whatever. Most demure, sweet thing in the world. And that's what blew her mind. Not that she had a sex toy, but just the size of it, what it was for. Yeah. I mean, all these strap-ons and stuff. But when you talk to her, it sounded like a Betty White were a librarian.
Right.
Oh. Right? That's the way she came off. And I just never saw her the same again. I saw her in a much better light. I'm like, I like her. She gives no vibe that says, look, give it to me hard and give it to me deep. But we saw that thing. I'm like, she's not joking around, man. Like,
Mike, I know Steve has heard this story, but this was one that happened to me later in life where I found out, I believe I was living here at the time. So it had been a number of years. Okay. But, 4 or 5 houses down, from where I grew up in West Virginia, it was a small little, neighborhood, probably no more than 30 houses, but down the road, a family had 2 adoptive kids. They had, a little boy and a little girl. Now, they were probably 3 or 4 years younger than me. But as things were at that time, when you walked home from school, you always walked in a group based on the fact that your parents preferred it for safety.
Sure.
There were some dogs that would meet you down there that were friendly dogs that would walk, you know, with their parents and everything else. But it was more about the fact of just to keep everybody safe from being attacked by a couple of dogs who were a little bit wild in the neighborhood.
Right. Gotcha.
Right? So that was the basic thing. So you knew every single kid, whether you went to school in their class or not. Now, I was this one girl was particularly, for whatever reason, she was attached to me as far as me protecting her. So she would always walk close to me, and I knew
her
very
younger
well.
Or same grade?
She was younger. She was probably younger by a couple of years. But I always looked out for her because she just seemed to be one of those people who was a little bit more timid, a little bit more fragile. So I was like, all right, look, man, we got Sarah, you know, no big deal. Sarah goes on to go to college, blah, 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 blah. I'm pretty sure what happened was Sarah's father passed away. Sarah's father, and she was adopted, was the king of Sierra Leone, the country. All right.
What?
He's the king. The reason that she was adopted is because the king, shockingly, might have stepped outside of his royal marriage and had a child.
A king of a country?
Outside of wedlock. The reason she ended up in the United States and in West Virginia was because she was put up for adoption.
In West Virginia?
She was put
up for adoption in West Virginia.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I'll take
so
it.
Right. When she gets... when
you
she
can't take her to Florida or California, oh, by New York.
By the way, Mike, at this point in time, Sarah had already moved on to Los Angeles. She graduated with a broadcast communication degree.
All right.
She was working in Hollywood. She is an actress. Mm-hmm. She's appearing on some small roles and things like that.
As a princess should.
At this point in time, like coming to America, she finds out that she is the heir to the throne of Sierra Leone. Now, okay, so I am not kidding.
He didn't have any other kids?
He might have had children, but she is in that lineage and in that line. To be, she is a part of that family.
Right.
She is the king's daughter. She is also from America. They consider her more royalty than they do his.
So just the education and everything else comes along with it, right?
All of those things. So I get a couple emails every year on clean water projects that she's now involved in, and she is involved headfirst in this. She still lives in the United States, but she goes.
Is she the queen of Sierra Leone?
I believe right now she is just the princess. Let me look up right now and find out what her deal is.
Princess of success.
No, I'm not kidding you. I mean, it's like...
I feel like if you're queen, you should probably at least live in the country.
Sure, but right. She wouldn't be queen until...
mom
her,
dies, right?
Right, until her dad...
Oh, now she's an American philanthropist. But yeah, I mean, she's
Yeah,
that's Sarah.
Is she looking for
princess.
A king?
She's a princess.
Still a princess.
She's a princess.
All right.
See, I should have asked her out, then I could be a prince.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Yeah.
Imagine Miles Montgomery, the Prince of Sierra Leone.
Here she is with Carol Burnett. Carol Burnett at the Emmys. I mean, Jesus, whiz, woman.
Miles, time for you to be the prince that she desires.
Come on, man.
Well, she sends emails every. I wonder if I should follow her.
Don your white steed and sweep her off her feet, young
You're
prince.
Single, man, go be the king
right.
of Sierra
go
Leone.
Go get it, man.
All right.
Go be a king.
I'm gonna follow you.
You got an N.
Every picture, she's in Africa. West
King
Africa,
Miles Montgomery.
Sierra Leone.
Of Sierra Leone.
Am I under Leone?
No one would believe your ID.
No.
No.
They look at your white ass and be like, you're trying to tell me you're the king.
Well, trust me, the first email I sent
You're her, the monarch of the, Sierra
the,
Leone.
The first email I sent her, I was like, this is BS.
Right.
I'm like, you are so full of crap. She's like, I swear to God, I'm a princess.
Miles,
like,
get after that.
I keep writing. I'm like, you're not a freaking princess. I'm happy for your success in Hollywood, but you ain't no freaking princess.
Hey, guys, look, everyone listening, we got to do something to make Miles the king.
We got to hook this up.
Of Sierra Leone.
Like, we should make like a royal Tinder.
Yes. Look, man. I used to protect her when she was a kid.
Miles
she
Montgomery
appreciates that.
Seeking princesses.
Yeah. Come on, man.
I would love to hang out with her.
Yes, sir. She would, yeah.
She is.
I'd like to hang out with you.
She's not hard on the eyes.
She's a princess. I'm sure you would love to hang out with
her. She's got her own money.
Probably got a friend named Simmy. What surprising thing did you find out about a coworker, a family member, or a friend? 206-803.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
You're right.
This is the Mighty 99.9 KAISW and KISWHD1 Seattle. Always live on the free Odyssey app. Text the guys at 206-803-ROCK from the Pinkies Plumbing Studio. You're in the men's room.
All right, so we'll be joined momentarily by the Daily Migs Morning Show. Taryn Daly and Steve Migs. Today is National or International Kiss Day. Not sure exactly.
I don't know.
So we have the 10 best Kiss songs of all time. It's coming up right after emails on our question, what surprising thing did you find out about a coworker, a family member, or a friend? 206-803-ROCK.
Mike and I have an answer to that. That we know the future king of Sierra Leone. Mm-hmm. Look, man, the techs want you to do it, Miles.
They do, yeah. Miles.
Reach out to this woman.
When's the last time you talked to this gal?
I think I was working at McDowell's.
Okay.
No.
So you still have an in, is what you're saying?
No.
But she still emails you.
I talked to her in person probably when we were teenagers.
If she didn't care, she wouldn't still talk to you, Miles.
Was she at the high school reunion a couple years ago?
No, because we're a couple years apart.
Oh, God, that's right. That's right.
But
she go to her high school reunion?
We email back and forth. I don't know if she knows my kid is in West Africa as well. But
why don't you bring it
dude,
up?
Maybe
say, hey, man,
I can get, maybe
hey,
I can get like a free dinner at the Wendy's.
You guys have common
Wendy's
ground here. You're both from West Virginia.
Tell, hey, you want to open the first Wendy's in Sierra Leone?
That's right. Have you tried?
We always said Mozambique, but now we got an inn in Sierra Leone. Come on, man.
That's not good because I got a food shortage going on.
That's why Wendy's would be massive.
If you tried Dave's
massive.
Double Stack, come on.
I talked to my daughter. I'm going to
try Miles's meat too.
I'm going to go see her over the. I'm going to go see her over the Christmas holidays and all that crap, Hanukkah. And I go, hey, man, so I got all these shots, man. They made me feel like just absolutely loopy for like 2 or 3 days.
Yeah.
And I said, hey, just so I know, man, what would you recommend that I kind of dig into and eat? And, you know, she gave me a couple suggestions, and I'm like, all right, whatever. So then I asked my other kid who'd been there, and I'm like, all right, seriously, on the straight up, because she's telling me all this, well, you should try this native dish, this thing that I'm like, all right, I'll try to try it.
Right.
But what am I really going to eat? She's like, look, Dad. Just have the crocodile bites and the gazelle burgers.
Okay.
If you could just eat those, she's like, you'll be fine. I was like, gazelle burger. She's like, that's kind of what I ate the whole time.
I'm well,
like,
now you could take this gal out, you two, you know, just share a conversation over a gazelle burger.
Sure.
Why not?
Mm-hmm.
Be a king
Come
of
on,
Sierra
man.
Leone.
Yeah.
Come on, man. Hook it up. Everybody wants you to
don't
do it.
Don't pee foot around this thing, man. Let's go get this done.
You know what? I'm gonna track her down. I'm gonna send her an email and say, do you remember James Miles Montgomery? This guy protected you from vicious dogs.
Yeah. And he's been pining after you.
He has no idea
what
you're up to.
I know she remembers me because she keeps asking me for money. All right.
It's no different than being married.
All right, here's your clean water tablet money. Here you go.
Yeah, I'm married. Still going to ask you for money.
Let's go, Miles.
Yeah. Come on.
Man, you can leave this life behind.
That's
go, live
right.
a, go live a king.
Live in the bush.
Life.
You know what I mean?
Live in the bush as a king. Yeah. We'll call you the Bush King.
We'll just call you from time to time.
King,
get updates on
king
the
Bush. King Bush.
Much more popular in the 70s. What surprising thing did you find out about a coworker, a family member, or a friend? 206-803-ROCK.
Steve, we have got to just play Love
I
Doctor on this
know.
Man.
I know.
We've got to go matchmaker here.
Look, man,
I
don't,
this to happen.
I don't
so
normally
bad.
Get involved in matchmaking at all.
Because she's still
care
single.
About your
no,
personal
I think,
life.
I just looked at her Instagram. I'm pretty sure she has kids.
It's Instagram.
So
that
you.
Or she's hanging out with
you got
people.
Kids? You're single?
You got kids?
So what?
They can be
so
step
what? Single.
Your
plenty
daughters would love
have.
To be princess heiresses.
Right. little blonde kids thinking over Sierra Leone. Yeah. The natives would love it.
They'd love
they could open up.
They
would go over so well.
Bring the whole white culture there. You know what I mean? Open up a yoga studio.
Lululemon.
Right, exactly.
This is called mayonnaise.
We put it on everything.
On everything.
Have you been to Arby's?
Oh, my. Let me show you
horse
sauce.
Let me teach
sauce.
You all the things white people do.
This is called paddleball.
Right. Have you ever
pickleball?
You know when you walk from place to place? We call that hiking.
We come up with cute names for everything.
That's right.
You get your own water bottle, and then you walk to the top of a mountain, and you turn around and you walk home.
You see, we run for fun around here.
That's what we do in the Pacific Northwest.
You say you're looking for shelter. We call it camping.
We go to the top of the mountain, we look around, we go, that's fun, and we walk back down to the parking lot. That's what white people do.
And then we go to the KFC.
Exactly.
Somebody, there's pictures of her with Idris Elba, RDJ, Meryl freaking Streep.
I know. Yeah.
Dude, it's endless.
And Miles Montgomery.
Right, Oprah Winfrey. Who else did you just
Maybe they could teach everyone cross-country skiing. I don't know.
Miles, I will not rest until we get this connected.
White people like. The backboard.
I guarantee you. Dude.
They just have a basketball bucket there. Assist. They don't have a backboard. That's for the white people, you see.
Can you send her a U-Up email?
You up?
Yeah. Yo, you up?
I do have the WhatsApp.
Right? I mean, with the time change, you don't know. It's a legitimate question.
Just open the dialogue, man. Let's see. Let's test these waters.
You don't know what's going to happen, Miles. You might find love again.
You
could. Just happen to be the king of Sierra Leone.
I can have a big sword on my side.
Yeah.
That would be badass.
Let's go.
Riding in on an elephant.
Yeah.
Come on, man. It's a once in a lifetime opportunity.
Can you take an elephant through the Arby's drive-thru? We're gonna find out.
You're the king.
You can do whatever the hell you want.
Yes, you can.
Give him a couple peanuts, and I want a cheddar bacon.
That would work if you got a Five Guys out there because they got the peanut fries.
See, that's what we're saying, man. Mm-hmm. Just think this through. Say, look, you got to think of all the things that I'm going to bring to the country that you don't have right now.
Yeah.
Come on, man.
If Dennis Quaid can drive on the greens of the golf course, you certainly, as king of Sierra Leone, can ride a goddamn elephant through the Arby's drive-thru.
I'm going to make my white kids wear slinkies on their neck. You know what I mean?
That's the right country.
Just bend over and breastfeed without having to do anything.
I was even have to bend over.
Exactly.
Just, oh my God.
Just right down
your
there.
Kids crawling
right
and
down
eating.
There at knee level. What?
All hail Jesus. Your king.
Montgomery!
That is what they will scream from the mountaintops,
oh
man.
What surprising thing did you find out about a coworker, family member, or a friend? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Jared. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
Today we learned cornhole.
So a few years ago, I'm working for this construction company, and we get a new guy by the name of Andrew. Don't think much about it. You know, hard worker, a little bit of a temper, but, you know, it's construction. You know, guys get heated in the moment. But he worked for us for a few months and disappeared, didn't hear anything back from him. And it wasn't until like a year plus later that I found out that he is responsible for the Oakley Carlson case. He was the father of the missing child.
Oh, God.
That's wild.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. It caught me by surprise. I didn't even know until like my coworker was like, did you see that they made a documentary about him? And I was just like, what? There's a documentary about this guy? I know, it's just like, it was wild.
Well, Jared, you should be surprised. You should never look at someone and be like, hey, nice to meet you. You look like you're missing a child. I mean, like, I would be surprised anytime someone tells me that. That's fair.
Yep.
I'm not surprised at all.
Okay.
Wow. That's kind of heavy duty.
What surprising thing did you find out about a coworker, a family member, or a friend? 206-803-ROCK.
Whoops. Hello, Lulu. Welcome to the men's room.
Hi.
Hola.
So I used to be a CNA.
Used to be a what?
A nurse assistant. I used to be a CNA, a nurse assistant.
Okay.
And I took care of a lady that would constantly smoke in her room. And I sat down and talked to her for a while, and she actually lived through World War II, hid in a cave with her siblings, and was rescued by American soldiers.
Well, that's heavy duty.
What country was she in?
Germany.
Ah, okay.
Damn. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and she ended up marrying one of the soldiers that rescued her.
How long did she say she was in a cave?
I think it was almost a year.
Oh, my God.
Okay.
Yeah.
And based on World War II,
like 8 or 9 months.
How old do you think this woman was when she was hiding out in the cave?
Oh, she was in her teens or 20s, I'm sure.
Okay. Okay. Was she tattooed on her arm? Do you know that on her forearm?
No.
Okay.
No.
She was hiding. Yeah.
She was hiding. She didn't go into any of the camps or anything.
All right.
So she married one of the rescuers and resettled here in the States, and that was the deal?
Yes. Yep.
That's a pretty wild journey.
So they got married in Germany. They got married here in the U.S., and then they had to have another marriage ceremony.
Wait, they got married in Germany, then they got married here. Why did they need a third marriage ceremony?
Yeah, normally after 3, you're done.
Yeah, even if it's the same person.
Sure.
I mean, at that point, I was lost. I don't know.
Okay.
And then her 16-year-old son died in a car accident like a week after getting his driver's license or whatever.
Wow, she had a hell of a life. That's crazy.
Did she say anything positive?
Yeah, I mean,
oh my gosh. This woman, she was amazing. I mean, I would come into her room singing "Good Morning Sunshine," and she was a hell of a lady.
Okay.
You know, she walked into her room singing. I mean, I'd have had to burn you with my cigarette, but I'm just that guy. I used to work with a woman. Same thing. And looking back, she was very kind. She was a manager at the restaurant, but she'd get there maybe 30 minutes after we did. But we opened at 6 a.m., so everybody's tired. You've been prepping since like 4:30, and this woman buzzed in every morning, just, "Good morning." Mm-hmm. We called her Snow White because she looked like Snow White. She sounded like Snow White. And kind of like, I don't know, if you're an adult, Barney makes you homicidal based on his overwhelming positivity. She was like that. Like, look, there's nothing wrong with you. You're a very kind person. Why everyone here wants to beat you, I don't know.
Yeah. When my kid's great-grandfather was a prisoner of war. So he was tatted on the inside of his arm, and so was his wife. So great-grandmother as well. When they at the funeral in New Jersey, when they did the grave thing, there was representatives there from the Jewish delegation of prisoners of war.
Yeah,
that stuff is serious. I mean, when you especially at the funeral of someone who passes away, and also family members are responsible for filling the grave back in.
Wait, what?
Yeah, kind of partially.
The whole thing?
A lot. I don't know. There were 4 of us just throwing dirt on it, and it was weird, man. I mean, it was a heavy-duty deal.
This is
just,
like your ex-wife's family,
yes,
right?
Yes, I just remember.
Then how do you?
I remember it because I'm a dude, and I'm there, and I'm a lending hand. But I just remember being shaken at the end of it, like, God, this is just too much. Like, how about we have a party?
Right.
And celebrate life. This is just really dark.
And no offense, that's not fit for a king.
No.
Someone here just says a text line. If Miles does not message her, I'm going to message her myself and say something like, quote, "Hey, I think I met you through my friend Miles Montgomery years ago." Everyone said, "We're trying to make this happen, Miles."
Yeah.
You'll be royalty.
What surprising thing did you find out about a coworker, a family member, or a friend? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Terry. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, bitches.
Hola.
Yeah, so my first ex-wife... found out about 2 years into our marriage that her great-great-great-grandfather was John Wilkes Booth.
Oh, damn.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I was like, so I need to start sleeping with one eye open or what?
Well, just don't go to the movies.
Yeah, exactly.
It just depends what side of the fence you're on. Mm-hmm. You know, that's all. Like, this family takes it real serious. Real, real serious. What was her response when you find that out?
She was just, it was like ho-hum. It was like, like no big deal to her. So
I mean, I guess that's fair enough.
I mean,
it's hard to hold a grudge. Yeah. Having an 1865.
Right. I know the guy.
Yeah, like it has nothing to do with me, man. Exactly. Yeah. Hell, that is kind of weird, though. Is that something you brag about to people?
Well,
not a brag, but no. like historically speaking, I'm related to this person, whether they were awful or not. especially with that much. If you're his son, maybe you don't bring it up much. But if this much time's passed, like,
yeah, I changed the name. What surprising thing did you find out about a coworker, a family member, or a friend? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Patty. Welcome to the men's room.
Hey, how you doing, fellas?
Hola.
Hey, hey. So we had a fellow at our work that started. He spent 17 years in prison. Got out 5 years later. We hired him. Gambling problem, drinking problem. He left work one day to go to the doctor. And the next day on the news, we saw his picture. He, hang on. He robbed a bank, and then he came back to work and clocked in like nothing happened.
Well, it's probably the best way to do it.
So he really missed being in jail.
I guess. Well, you know, I guess so. But then he robbed our warehouse that he was running.
Jesus.
And tried to blame it on somebody else. So the cops, he had to take the stuff to the cops, the info, because obviously they had like a be on the lookout thing. And I guess 3 days later they arrested him. We couldn't find him. So we looked at the jail roster at King County and boom, he was there.
He probably is still in there. How long ago was this?
Actually, it was in February. He just came to our warehouse last week. They lowered his bail from $500,000 to $100,000. And so his mom paid the money and put her house up. He has an ankle monitor, and he asked for his job back.
He did.
The answer was no.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, yeah, that's probably the best call. I mean, you know, not that you want to give someone a second chance, but I think that...
Well, you know, he got $3,000 from the bank, and if you would have seen the news and turned him in, you would get $10,000. So he didn't do very well.
That's kind of weird. Like, you stole $3,000, but if you can tip us off to who it is, we'll give you $10,000. Huh.
Absolutely. Crime Stoppers at its best.
Okay. That is wild.
Yeah, because you typically, I don't know, you just kind of feel like when you go to work, it's you're not really working with anybody that's, I don't know, capable of those things, maybe? Depending on the job. I mean,
okay, like, yes. Depending on the job. So yeah. In my younger days, I had jobs where I would have been surprised if any of them were not into some, maybe not a bank robber, but like, I know when you leave here, you don't go directly home, and whatever you do between here and home, there's no way it's legal. There's just no way. Oh, by the way, bad news.
What's that?
Got an update on Sierra Leone.
Oh, no.
Sierra Leone has an elected president.
Oh, no more king.
No more king.
Ah, man.
Well, look, man, you can be a president.
No, it doesn't matter now. Doesn't matter.
You can be the prime minister of England, but no one cares. They only care about Prince Charles.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's
outside
not,
of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Right, exactly. So, see, it's bigger. It's bigger. Hell, Harry just got $10 million for no reason other than being born in.
So it's the thing. You could still be a king, right? You're just not in charge of
right.
the country.
Who cares if you get the money?
Right. What does
Do they still have kings then? If they have an elected president,
well,
like do
King
they
Charles, right?
Well,
in the United Kingdom. But wait,
they
have a prime minister.
Right. That's not a president.
It's the same thing. It just depends what you want to call. We call it a president because we did not want to call it prime minister. So
sure. There's
no difference. But like, what could the king get done? Not because people are being charitable and say, hey, he's asking us, but like, what rule could he put down that the prime minister couldn't say, nah, Chuck, we're not doing that? Like, do they actually carry any weight beyond the ceremonial thing? And
right?
It's the thing, and people buy magnets, and they visit Buckingham Palace, right? But in the end, are you making any decision that makes any difference in the life of anyone in the UK?
If you're a king, if Burger King said you are the Burger King, I'd be like, thanks, man, I'm a king.
Right.
I don't care. I don't care who's in charge. One way or another, you're still king, right?
Yeah, I guess. Mm-hmm. I mean, Chuck's on money now.
Yeah.
You know, there's that.
You got to be able to assert yourself on one thing.
You're on a level, though, like King James. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I mean, you're in a different tier.
That's right. So. How many people can say they're king?
Yeah.
That's a good point. I mean, but what can you do?
I mean, they're the ones that give people names like sir and stuff.
To me,
that's
it's like this.
Deal.
If you say you're a doctor and it's not a medical doctor, nobody cares. I don't say that as an offense, but my uncle will insist that you call him Dr. Hill.
Right.
He pissed my mom off. This was years ago. And she's like, he's a goddamn botanist. He couldn't cure the goddamn cold. Doctor my ass. Right? So maybe she poisoned my brain with that. But she's like, look.
She's not going to give him a break,
said this
is
before.
She?
No. If you're on a plane and somebody says, this is a doctor, and his ass jumps up, I'm like, dude, unless they drop their Venus flytrap, you're not going to
What if
help.
You're a dentist on the plane? You're really a doctor.
You're a doctor.
You're DDS. Do you jump up?
You should. Is there a doctor?
I mean, you know anesthesia. You don't have any. But
I feel like
if you have a PhD
would.
In yeah. philosophy, you
sure.
are a doctor.
Right.
We need a doctor. Right. I jump up and they say, man, can you do a tourniquet? I sure can.
Give him some nitrous. Give him some nitrous. Calm him down. Whatever you need to do. What surprising thing did you find out about a coworker, a family member, or a friend? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Jason. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, bitch. Hola.
Hola.
So back in the 90s up in Whatcom County, my brother-in-law was building a derby car for the Linden Fair, and a bunch of his friends were helping him, and I ended up meeting a guy through him that was a mechanic, became my mechanic. He had a girlfriend with a 14-year-old daughter. He ended up raping and murdering the 14-year-old girl. She went
Jesus.
To Fairhaven Middle School. I was actually at his house a couple weeks before he murdered her. He was working on my Scirocco, and she had walked out of the house, and I had never met his girlfriend or even knew that he had a girlfriend and a stepdaughter. As she walked out, and he started screaming at her to get back in the house. Have you ever been in one of those situations that's, like, really awkward to be the bystander?
Yes.
And it was really absolutely awkward. And then, like, 2 weeks later, my brother-in-law tells me, he's like, well, we're going out to look for his stepdaughter, and my brother-in-law was actually riding around in his van that was a mechanic's van, and had made a comment on a bunch of the red shop rags you get if you're a mechanic.
Yeah.
He had a pile of them in the back that was all red, and my brother-in-law asked him about them. He's like, oh, I did a transmission job the other day. And he didn't. He had actually murdered her, and he was trying to lead a search down the wrong way. They eventually found her. He actually ended up turning himself in, and he had gotten the death sentence. But before he ended up on death row, Inslee came along and canceled the death penalty. So to my knowledge, he's still in prison. But I think it was like 98 or something. And, and like I said, it was in Whatcom County. And when everything started to unfold, turns out he had a bunch of aliases. Don't know what else he did. But that was really close to home, you know, because I probably had him working on my car like 4 or 5 times since I'd met him. And then that last time was when I went over there, and that was just really awkward.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Well, at least your best encounter, the worst encounter with a murderer is that it was awkward.
Wow.
Good Lord, man.
Crazy stories today. That's fact.
Oh, by the way, just real quick, just so you know, not another horse in Sierra Leone.
Oh, my God.
All right, well, no, look, man, we're trying to work this out for you. So we brought up, like, King Charles. Like, what the hell can he actually do? So someone here says, in England, the queen and king, they do have ultimate power, but they choose to stay out of politics.
Not Sierra Leone, we don't. We're putting in a Wendy's.
Right,
man, I'm saying once royalty, always royalty. Right. Like, you are still the doggone king.
I'm going to get on money the whole deal.
I want your face on money.
Taran Daly, Steve Mix from the Daily Mix Morning Show coming up. We will sit and spend with the 10 best Kiss songs of all times. And we've got your emails coming up next in the men's room at KISW.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Barry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Barry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.